Good morning. Very nice to see you all. And it's good we're in the midst of summer holidays. And as we're in the midst of summer holidays, I've got a couple of gifts I want to give away. This is a great book, Andrew Murray. Anyone read any Andrew Murray? Very, very, very good stuff. Yes. This is a great book called The True Vine. And we've been looking at the vine and the branches over the past month. Does anybody have a birthday this month here who would like? These books are for free. Who would like? Sam, would you go and just raise your hand if you'd like a free book. You have to commit to reading it. It's not very long, but I've really been blessed massively through Andrew Murray and through that book. So be blessed with what you're receiving there. It has been great to have been away at New Wine, and I really felt a real touch of God. We had R.T. Kendall, who is another great man of God, speaking. And one of the themes was, and also Malcolm Duncan from Spring Harvest, and something that really came through was their passion for a move of God that's going to come in our nation and across the world, that's coming, a great turning to God. And I spent some great time on the carpet, really, before God, and really got renewed in vision and in heart and passion. And so my prayer is that we're going to be fresh in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and fresh in the love of God, and fresh in all that God wants to do in us. Amen. Amen. So let me pray as we come to God's word this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, your precious word, and we pray this morning that we would be changed and touched in the depths of our hearts and in our lifestyles, in our choices and priorities by your word. Lord, it is your holy and infallible word. And we pray in the name of Jesus now that you would send the Spirit upon your word, so that word and spirit would come together and we would see your kingdom come in our lives and in our church, and more than anything else, in this community, which you love so much. Come, Lord, and apply your holy word to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the verse, we've been focusing on these verses in John 15 over the past few weeks now. And we've spoken about the vine and the branches, and we've spoken about pruning, and we've spoken about many different things that the scripture teaches us. And today I want to come to a verse in this passage that's probably the most disturbing verse, not an easy verse. Verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Hallelujah. Okay, deep breath, everybody. But sometimes, isn't it true that it's easy to just skirt over verses of the Bible that are a bit challenging or look like they come with a warning, one of those warning stickers that you get, you know, danger, alert, warning. And actually, it's really important for us to pay attention to the verses of Scripture that call us, that sort of send out an alarm, send out a warning, send out a signal that says, pay attention. This is really, really important. Really important verse. So I want to speak on this with love and grace as much as God can enable me to do this morning. And I pray that God will give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say through His Word. Are you like me where when I am ever put in charge of a plant, it dies? I'm a farmer's son, and even though I'm a farmer's son, I do not have green fingers. Basically, all I do in the garden is mow the lawn. I'm good at doing that, and anything else I leave Caroline, or particularly to my mother-in-law, who is an amazing gardener. And we've got a big garden, and she, whenever she comes, she has her work cut out, but she loves it. But, you know, I don't understand the difference between a weed and a plant. I just pull them all up and get a telling off afterwards because I pulled up some precious plant. I don't know how to garden very well. And also, whenever I have a plant in our room or in the office or wherever, I just totally forget to water it. And it basically, within a few weeks, withers. And I look at it and then I realize, you're supposed to water these things. So I'm not very successful about plants in the natural, but I'm sure we've all been there where you suddenly approach a plant or something and see it's withered and it's all the life has gone from it and it hasn't had the water, it hasn't had the feeding it's needed for growth. And the title today is Don't Wither. Don't wither. And the verse says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I think Sally, it's great prayer when Sally prayed earlier about, even in the summer season, not dialing down God. Sometimes when we go into summer holiday mode and we think of the beach and we just think of barbecues and having a good time, sometimes part of that can sometimes be that we just forget God. And we arrive back here in September and we go, oh yeah, God. I remember, I remember that from May or whenever I was last really engaged spiritually. I want us today not to wither, but to allow the sap of the Spirit. And Jesus says, I am the vine. Think of this vine, the center core of this vine, and you are the branches. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And the summer season is a time of fruit bearing, isn't it? It's fruit. Let there be fruit. Let there be fruit in our lives. Not withering. Not the lack of not seeing much of God at work in our lives. So, you know, where there's no fruit, there is no life. We need to be those who are seeking the Holy Spirit, the sap of the Spirit in our lives. And actually paying attention here where it says that there's an urgent truth here. That judgment comes where there is no fruit, where there's no life. And that really we are called to this place of connection. John 15 speaks to us of connection with Jesus, dependency on Jesus, where we, you know, it's not the case that we're living this perfect Christian life. We're all on a journey of transformation. We'll speak about that again in a moment. It's not perfect, but we're connected. It's not always pretty, but there is life there. There is a life flowing somewhere in my heart, between my heart and God's heart. That's what it means to abide. And so I just want to ask a couple of questions here when we look at this verse. We've spoken a lot about what abiding means and so on, so I'm not going to focus on that today. I've got a couple of questions, because I want to be honest about this verse of Scripture. And the first question is this: can I lose my salvation? And interestingly, it's really helpful because Carl Lee on Wednesday night is addressing this topic for about an hour. So I'm going to be able to skirt over it, but if what I say now interests you or makes you think twice, come to on Wednesday night and you'll hear a much better explanation from the Bible. But it seems to suggest, if I just read this verse again, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Does that mean that I one day might not make it to heaven? It's a good question. The thing is that true disciples will always bear fruit. True disciples of Jesus will always bear fruit. There will be an abiding. Could you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7? Help explain this a bit more. There's a lot of ink has been written about this verse and what it might mean here, and people believe different things about it, but this is where I feel we want to land. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come about you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Notice this: by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs and thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Familiar? And thus by their fruit, you will recognize them. And that's Jesus telling those folks in Matthew 7 that it's fruit that shows whether we are true disciples. By their fruit, you will know them. I just want to say that as believers in Jesus Christ, if we're true disciples, if we're really following him, in some way, we will be bearing fruit. It won't be perfect. It won't be infallible. We are weak, broken. Our lives can be a mess often because we're on a journey with God. And that's okay. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, living this perfect Christian life. And the moment you mess up, he's there pointing the finger at you. Sometimes people have that notion of God. God isn't here with a tripwire, just seeing like when you break the tripwire, you think a little thought that's wrong, or you don't read your Bible one day and the tripwire goes and boom, you're under judgment. That's not what we're talking about here. God knows we are, the Bible calls it the word sanctification. That's the theological word for it. In other words, becoming more like Jesus each day. I want to be more like Jesus next week than I was last week. But it's a process. It's a process of transformation. But I will say that there will be some fruit. If there is no fruit, there is a problem. There's trouble. But there will be some fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, of the character of Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's also fruit mentioned in the Bible about harvest, in other words, mission and sharing our faith with other people. And there's definitely the truth in the Bible about the harvest and the fruit that comes through sharing our faith. But there will be some fruit. By their fruit, you will recognize them. It's by your fruit that God recognizes you, and you are true. And if you're a true disciple, you will be bearing that fruit. Some fruit. The key thing here that you also see in Matthew 7 where Jesus says to those people who were prophesying in his name and who were doing all sorts of amazing things, that they were barred from, some of them were barred from heaven. Why? Because, why were they barred from heaven? Because away from me, you evildoers, because I never knew you. And it seems to me that the key issue here is, do we know Christ? And anyone who knows Christ, anyone who is in relationship, connection, you can call it abiding, remaining with him. Anyone who's in that place with Jesus, something will be happening in your life somewhere that is bearing fruit and showing God's love, giving that love away somewhere in your life. I think it's interesting to take this passage in John 15 in its context. Because the context here of John 15 is the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And this teaching he's giving in John chapter 15 is part of those discourses that Jesus is making as he's about to go to the cross. And also we notice that it becomes pertinent with this verse, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's just thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. I think of someone that might be in Jesus' mind at that moment, in the context of this passage, someone like Judas Iscariot. And Judas, on the surface, looked like a Christian. He looked like a disciple. He looked like someone following Jesus. Whenever Jesus sent out the 12 or the 72, Judas would have been there, and no one ever seemed to have alarm bells about Judas particularly. They weren't saying, well, why isn't Judas casting out demons? Or why isn't Judas proclaiming the kingdom? He was just one of the 12. It probably took them by tremendous surprise in that day when Judas betrayed Jesus. They would have been shocked by that betrayal because Judas had simply been one of them. You know, that's what this passage says. Watch out for false prophets in Matthew chapter 7. Watch out for false prophets. Judas was one of those. He was someone on the outside who looked like a disciple, but inside there was no connection with Jesus. He was not abiding. He was interested in his own agenda, not in Jesus. And so he would have been one of those, sadly, who ended up under that judgment. And the commentaries on this are really good because they point out the difference. And I think this is really helpful for us. When I'm asking the question, can you lose your salvation? And, you know, it's like, oh my, you know, wow. How do I know at any point whether I'm a Christian, if I'm going to heaven, if I'm going to hell? What's happening to me? I don't know. If I just do something wrong, does God cast me off? Am I going to be cast off and burned, as this verse says? Well, let's look at the difference between Judas and Peter. And that's a great way to see what this is about, because Judas and Peter both failed Jesus at this time. Just in that week when Jesus was teaching, they both let him down. They both failed. They both were in a mess. But it's interesting, what did Judas do? Judas was not connected. He was not he was withered. That's where Judas was. Judas was withered. Judas was unconnected. He had his own agenda, not the agenda of Jesus. And he went out and he hung himself after betraying and failing. What was Peter's response when he failed Jesus? Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And Peter had failed Jesus. I failed Jesus. Do you ever fail Jesus? Do you ever let God down? I do. Sadly, it grieves my heart. I do. But it doesn't mean I've lost my salvation. Why? Because I come back. I confess my sin. I come back to God. And Peter was one who came back. And there is a way back to God. There is a door that is open and all may go in. And we come back to God. And Peter humbled himself. And he was beautifully restored, as you read in John's Gospel. And Jesus took him right back into, and then he became the spokesman on the day of Pentecost for the early church. Someone who'd failed Jesus. We all fail. We all are broken. None of us are perfect, but we are still those who abide. But my prayer today is that if we seek to stay close, if we seek to stay connected to the vine, that's the place of safety. That's the place of intimacy. That's the place of love. But we do want to watch out for this warning in Scripture in John 15, because it's a very, very important warning to us. And so I suppose what I'm saying is a true disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't lose their salvation. But may we make sure, the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you know Jesus. Make sure that you're in the faith. Make sure, and it's important to us, and I want to let there be, in the Word of God, we want to send out this warning not to just take for granted knowing Jesus. And let me go to explain what I mean, because the second question, the first question was, can I lose my salvation? And the answer to that is a true disciple of Jesus, someone who really knows him, is secure in him. But someone who's only in it for their own agenda or just following God because of culture or because of something that, you know, just turning up every week or every now and again without a real connection to Christ, that person is in danger of coming under the judgment that this verse is speaking about. And all of us, we want to be those who fear the Lord. And we want to be those who say, I want to make my calling and election sure. I want to make sure I know Jesus Christ. And the second question is, how do I know if I am remaining in Christ? Isn't that an important question? Because there's an urgency to it. And Matthew 13, just turn with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 reminds us something really important that can be sometimes underemphasized in the church today, which reminds us that a final judgment is coming. And you'll see here, Matthew chapter 13, just read with me from verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Then the wheat sprouted and formed heads, and the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them both." That's what I'm saying I would have done. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Do you see the similarities that are going along here with John 15 teaching? It's just the different picture. There is the picture of the branches, because this is, I believe, in John 15, the branch is being described here at the final judgment, where it's saying such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. That's to do with the final judgment. And here it's talking about that final judgment as well. But the picture is of weeds and wheat. And both are allowed to grow up together. And then at the final judgment, God will sort it out. And then let's just look along here, because Jesus explains the parable. Aren't you glad when there's a bit of the Bible where Jesus explains the parable? I love that. So then in verse 36, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man," that's Jesus. "The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom." Or in other words, like the John 15 analogy, the branch is the people of the kingdom, the good branch that bears fruit. "The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Who's looking forward this morning to shining? If you know Jesus today, you are going to shine like the sun on that day. But also there are those who will be burning. They won't be shining, they'll be burning on that day. That needs to put some urgency into our hearts. Either an urgency that says, I want to know Jesus. I want to make sure I'm on the shining side, not the burning side. Amen? None of us want to go there. But also, what about our neighbors and our friends? If you're one who's going to shine, what about your neighbors and your friends? What about that day of the Lord when Jesus comes back? And I want to say there is a day of final judgment. There is a day that God has appointed that he will judge the earth in righteousness. And Jesus is coming back again. One day, every eye will see him. Everyone. And he's coming in power, in glory, in love. He's coming again. And we will see him. And he's sending out his angels on that great final judgment day. And there will be a separation between the weeds and the harvest. And there will be a separation, as John 15 says, between the branches that are abiding and remaining and those withered branches that are going to be picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Jesus speaks about it very clearly. Jesus speaks a tremendous amount about his second coming. And in Matthew 24, 25, there's so much about the second coming of Jesus. It's not dissimilar to the parable of the foolish and wise virgins, this one, because there are the foolish ones who don't get in to the wedding feast and the wise ones who have the oil ready in their lamps and they get into the feast in Matthew 25. Jesus speaks so many parables about his coming again. Why? Because he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready. And I want to ask you a question today. When we come to look at this theme of the judgment, the final judgment that's here in John 15, that let me ask you a question. Where will you stand on that day? I'll put it another way. What is a Christian? What makes a Christian? What makes a true disciple? I've said that a true disciple will be safe on the day of the judgment. So what is a true disciple? How can I be a true disciple of Jesus and make sure that I and then those around me will be safe? I wonder if you could imagine, and this is something Artie Kendall did over the New Wine Week. I wonder if you could imagine today that if we had come into church, you'd come in and you were given a blank sheet of paper, and you've got a pen and a blank sheet of paper, and I'm asking you now to write down on that sheet of paper what you would say to God when one day you stand before him, and you will stand before him one day. What would you say to God if God said to you, why should I let you in to heaven? Why should I let you in? And you've got to give one answer to God. And in your mind now, just imagine you've got that pen and paper with you. Just write down in your mind, what's your answer to God? Why should God let you into heaven when you die or when he comes again? Just think of it. I'm just going to give you a minute. Think what's going to go on your paper. Because there's a massive issue in the church today. I believe that sometimes we've forgotten what the gospel actually is. And sometimes people come to church and get caught up with church and don't actually know if they really know Jesus. But I wonder if you put on your form, on your sheet of paper there, it's because I go to church, I wouldn't want to trade places with you, because you'd be lost. If you put on that piece of paper, I was baptized once, then you're in danger. If you put on your paper, well, I've done my best. I've done my best throughout my life. I've tried to lead a good life. I've done all I could. I've given, I've done everything I've thought I could. Everything that was asked of me, I've sought to do it to the best of my ability. I've got news for you. You're lost. If that's what your answer to God is, you're lost. Some people might say, well, I was brought up in a Christian home. I read my Bible. I say my prayers at night. If that is what's on your paper, then you need to meet Jesus, because you're lost. Now, you might say to me, what are you telling us here? This can't be right. What sort of message is this? You're telling me that all my good works and everything I've striven to do over these years counts for nothing with God? Exactly right. It's not fair, is it? But let me tell you something. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And even though if I had 150,000 good works to pile up on the scales before God one day, and even if that outweighed the things I've done I shouldn't have done and so on, and my sin and my wickedness, even if somehow I could make my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, it's not about me comparing. It's about our holy God. Because the fact is, even one sin is enough to keep us out of heaven. The Bible says your sins have separated between you and your God, so that he will not hear. I want to say, what's the answer that the Bible gives? What's the answer of God's words to that question? Well, if you've got that question and you want to write down, why should God let you into heaven? And the answer is faith in Jesus Christ. in what he did on the cross for me, his blood. If you know, it could be any kind of, if you put on your paper, it's Jesus, it's the cross and his resurrection, it's the righteousness of Christ, it's all from God. The Bible says by grace you're saved. In other words, you don't deserve to be saved. By grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that nobody here is going to be able to boast one day, I did enough to get to heaven. I did enough. They didn't do enough. I did enough. It's not about that. It's all about Jesus. Jesus walked the earth, and constantly he was walking in connection to his Father. He was perfect. You know how I was saying we are not perfect? He is perfect. And the remarkable thing is that Jesus, when he died on the cross, a death that he did not deserve, he took all my sin and your sin on himself, and he took the punishment for my sin and your sin, so that we could go free, so that we could have mercy, so we could be forgiven all our sin, and so that we could connect to Jesus. This word remaining and abiding is very similar to the word believing. And what does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that anyone who believes in him. That's why I'm saying if you on your paper you put believing in Jesus Christ, and by believing you mean trusting in him and giving your life to him, it's the same really as this remaining and abiding. It's the same to believe in him. Anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And can I say, it's really interesting. Do you see those two little words where it says, if you do not remain in me, and it says, if you believe in him. It's not church, it's not good works, it's not Bible reading, it's not tithing, it's not any amount of anything you can imagine other than Jesus Christ himself that can save you. And so, friends, today, do you know Jesus? Have you believed in Jesus? Are you putting the whole weight of your salvation? And this is really important, because if we get this, if we don't put our trust in Jesus and we simply rely on our goodness, then you will be lost for all eternity. And I want to give out that warning today. And he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. We need today, there's a lifeline that's being thrown out, a life belt, if you like. And you've got time to take it this morning. None of us know how long we've got. There's a dear gentleman who used to visit our cafe, a man deeply loved by many of us. And he went into eternity this past week. None of us quite know where he stood with God. And that's why I want to be very clear today. The Bible says, if you do not remain in me, if you don't know me, and here's the thing about this, you might have been at church for years. You might be doing children's ministry. You might be in a life group. You might be doing all kinds of stuff for God. But the important thing is, do you actually know Jesus Christ? Not secondhand, not through someone else, but actually yourself. Have you ever bowed the knee to Jesus Christ yourself and said, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I've got no hope apart from you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, please forgive me my sin. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I give my life to you. I want to be a true disciple of yours. In just a moment, I'm going to give an opportunity for a response for you, because there is hope this morning. When it gets to the day that this happens in this verse, it will be too late. Where it says here, if you do not remain in me, and you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Whenever you arrive at that day and you're not remaining, it's too late. We need to decide now where we stand with God. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus And so let's take a moment to be honest with God. At St. Mary's, no amount of coming to St. Mary's, you can come every day for the rest of your life, we can't save you. You can read the Bible 20 times through, it won't save you. You can wear your knees out on the carpet, and if it's just religion, it will not save you. It is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen again from the dead, that does the work of salvation. I don't care how long you've been coming to church. You might have been coming to church 20 years before you came here. And you might also, there could also be a tremendous fear in our hearts where we might say, well, my goodness, you know, if people thought I wasn't a Christian, you know, what will people think of me? I tell you what, we will rejoice with you. We will rejoice with you. I would rather see you respond to God today to say, I'm going to be honest with you, God, than have you have this veneer of religion and go into a Christless eternity, out of the presence of God, shut out from His presence forever. Friend, today, this is the day, this is the hour, this is the moment. God is calling you to Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus so that you today would say, you'd write on your paper, Christ alone. Christ alone. Jesus is my way. Jesus is my truth, my life. That's what it takes. And I just want to say before we respond, finally, some of us here this morning might be saying, well, I know that Jesus is my way, my truth, my life. But I would also be honest to say, I think I'm pretty withered in my Christian life. I wonder if that's you today. Some of us may need to forgive others that we have withheld forgiveness from. We may need to get back into the ways of reading the Word and prayer. We may need to pick up the call of God to give and to tithe 10% of our income to God. All of these things are just ways. They won't get you to heaven, but they're just ways to help you get closer to Jesus, to depend on Him more, to know Him more, to love Him more. There could be 100 other ways you could do it. But some of us know we're jaded in our Christian lives. We're jaded. We need that fresh touch of God upon our lives. So is that you today? You don't want to get anywhere far away from God. You want to be close. Let's just take a moment. And I'm going to invite us to respond in just a moment. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this prayer is for those of us who, if we are really honest, we don't have a connection with Jesus. We might have an outward expression, but we don't have an inward relationship. So, if that's you, I just want to ask you to pray with me this morning. So just join with me in prayer. You can pray in your heart, that's fine. But just mean it. Just mean it before God. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that this morning you love me. I thank you that you have opened a way for me to know you. And I choose to come to you this morning. I come trusting in what you did for me on the cross. You took all my sin upon yourself. So Jesus, I ask you today, please forgive me. Please have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus, please save me. And please fill me with your love. Fill me with your Spirit. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know you for myself. And today, I surrender my life to you. Lord Jesus, I want to be a disciple of yours. And I give my life to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 There's a verse in the Bible that says, where Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of him when I come with all my angels. But if you're not ashamed of me, I'm not going to be ashamed of you. Jesus said it. You can argue with him about it, okay? That's why I'm going to ask, just in the next 10 seconds, that if anybody here prayed that prayer sincerely today, I'd like you just to stand to your feet. Why am I asking you to do that? Just as a witness. It's important that we confess, that we are willing to publicly tell others what we've done. And it's a really, really important thing. It just cements it right into our hearts. And it's really good. I've done this many times, and many times I've been afraid to stand. And when I've stood, I'm glad. Because it's like, I'm so glad, because I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. And I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I'm not ashamed of him, because he loves me so much. He's my friend who sticks closer than a brother. So, 3, 2, 1, would you just stand if you've prayed with me this morning? Thank you. Praise God. So, Father, I pray now in the name of, just put your hands out in front of you if that's possible. If it's not possible, don't worry. If you need to sit, because you need to sit, take a seat. That's okay. But I pray, Heavenly Father, for my brothers and sisters right now, in Jesus' name. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them with the assurance that they have, having confessed and repented of their sins and turned to Christ, Lord, that they are children of God, having trusted in you. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will come by the power of your Holy Spirit and flow into every one of these dear, dear saints of God right now. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and the love of God. And I pray for you today, just an enormous blessing of God upon your life, that you will know God loves you so much, and that you will come and say, God, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. I want more of you. Never stop praying for more of Jesus. Never, ever give up. Always say, God, fill me with more of you. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill these dear believers with your Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just remember this moment with God, saying yes to God. And I pray that Jesus will be more real to you than ever before. Shall we all stand? Let's all stand together. And the band are going to come up and lead us in a final song. And here's what we'll do. The prayer ministry team will come out after Sam's done the blessing. If anybody here is thinking,